Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
Today on Catholic Baltimore, we're talking with Archbishop William Laurie about the upcoming Fortnight for Freedom, which will take place from June 21st to July 4th. The timing is appropriate because during those 2 weeks, our Catholic liturgical calendar celebrates a series of great martyrs who remained faithful in the face of persecution by political power. Saints such as St. Thomas More and St. John Fisher, St. John the Baptist, Saints Peter and Paul, and the first martyrs of the Church of Rome. And the fortnight culminates with the celebration of American Independence Day, July 4th. The theme of this year's fortnight will focus on the freedom to bear witness to the truth of the gospel. The opening mass will be held at Baltimore's Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, June 21st at 10:45 a.m. The closing mass will be held at noon on the 4th of July at the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. Thanks for talking with us, Archbishop Laurie.
Glad to be with you today, Chris. Thank you.
What is the Fortnight for Freedom, and why is it so important this year?
The Fortnight for Freedom is a 14-day period, a two-week period, that begins on June the 21st, extends through July the 4th, and we set that time aside so that we can do three things. With regard to religious liberty, first of all, to pray. If we want to preserve religious liberty, we have to pray for it. Like any blessing God has given, if we want to preserve it and use it well, we have to pray about it. And so the fortnight is first and foremost a time of prayer. It's secondly a time of study. There is so much we all have to learn about our American heritage, about our experiment in limited government, and about what the Church teaches with regard to religious freedom. And then thirdly, act. Because as we know, while our country is a wonderful place, there are increasing threats, challenges to religious liberty, and those are only addressed by prayerful, well-informed, committed citizens who are mostly lay people doing what Catholic social teaching says Catholic lay people should be doing, and that's being on the front line, making sure that on the front line, helping to create a just and peaceful society. And you do not have a just and peaceful society when religious freedom is impaired.
So the theme of the Fortnight for Freedom this year is freedom to bear witness. What does that mean for us as Americans and as Catholics?
We might begin overseas first, if you don't mind, and look at the very valiant people of faith who are losing their lives because of their faith. That includes a lot of Christians who are dying in the Middle East, Africa, elsewhere, because they are Christians. And then there's also people who are Muslims who are dying because they're deemed not to be good enough Muslims. And we look at that as an outright bloody persecution going on. Not nearly enough is being said about it. Our Holy Father has been so courageous, so forthright, even blunt about it. But on our side of the Atlantic, not so much. Mm-hmm. I think this fortnight for freedom is an opportunity for us to hold up their witness. They're not free in the sense that they may not have that they have a choice to die or not to die. But they are spiritually free in laying down their life for their faith. Now, what does that say to us? That says to us that we had better bear witness to the gift of religious liberty that we enjoy and not let it get whittled away, not let it get frittered away. And so it's important for us to not allow religious freedom to get redefined or defined down to freedom of worship, such that the government and other folks will say to us, you're perfectly free to do whatever you want in the four walls of your church. But the minute you step out and do education and charity, serve the common good, you're playing by our rules. And that means you have to violate your teaching, especially if you do any kind of business with the government. Really? It's never been what our country has stood for. So what we're saying is we ought to be able to run our institutions without undue interference in hiring practices, in our policies, in the kind of benefits we get, so that we can send a clear message that this is what we stand for and we witness to our faith by how we run our ministries.
That's important to hear, because in a recent address to aid representatives from Catholic aid organizations around the world, Pope Francis called the staff and volunteers the very hands of Jesus in the world. He said they help change people's lives because they've changed their own hearts. Is that what you're talking about when you say that our work and our witness in our communities is tied up with our mission as followers of Christ?
Sure. In another place, the Pope told us, who run charities and schools and organizations to serve the common good, not to become mere NGOs, non-governmental organizations. That is to say, mere private extensions of the government. We come at this through the lens of the gospel. We come at this as people who have encountered the Lord, who love the Lord, who are undergoing our ongoing conversion, and who express our relationship with Jesus Christ by seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in the poor, the needy, the marginalized, young people growing up, et cetera, et cetera. So what this means is we are doing this not as a kind of a churchy sideline. We are doing this as an outgrowth of what we believe and how we worship.
It's essential to our mission.
It is essential. There's three elements to our mission. Pope Benedict said so clearly, faith, worship, and service, and they are joined at the hip. Mm-hmm. And the government should not try to sever them.
Pope Francis also was talking to European church leaders from both Catholic and ecumenical groups in early May, and he said that Christians in Europe are currently facing a challenge, quote, posed by legislation which, in the name of a poorly interpreted principle of tolerance, ends up preventing citizens from freely expressing and practicing their religious convictions in a peaceful and legitimate way, end quote. Is this the same thing that's happening in the United States, and are there some examples?
Yes, I think that's very much the case. First of all, religious freedom and tolerance are not quite the same thing. Tolerance is a good first step. That means you're willing to live with your neighbor. And that means you're willing to say, okay, he does his thing and I do my thing. And that's a good first step. But religious freedom means that we acknowledge that religion plays a constructive and important role in society, and the conditions are established by which religious freedom can be done. Increasingly, however, we are seeing signs of intolerance in the name of tolerance. So there are groups that attack religious freedom restoration laws at the state level mostly, because religious beliefs, especially with regard to marriage and family, have now been deemed to be bigotry and therefore cannot be tolerated. And so what we find is freedom and toleration turned on its head. What's happening in turn then is that people of faith are being discriminated against. People of faith are not being tolerated. Every time someone files a suit saying that religious symbols and religious expressions need to be privatized, they're saying, we don't tolerate religion. It's okay inside your church. Get it out of the public square. We see that happening a lot in our culture, unfortunately. Look, we're not trying to shove religion down people's throats. We're not trying to proselytize. We're simply saying we got our place in the public square, and we have our right to try to serve the common good.
And we have a lot to bring to that.
And we do. I think about what we're doing in the city of Baltimore. In all of the unrest that we've had, if ever there was a moment that demonstrated the role of the religious community as a bringer of peace and as a provider of services, that was it. And there's a lot of people that would like to see it go away. I can't imagine what they're thinking. Can't imagine.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Are you or someone you know suffering from emotional or spiritual pain because of an abortion? Project Rachel is offering a Rachel's Vineyard weekend retreat in Catonsville, June 12th through the 14th. The event is designed to offer healing in a non-judgmental environment. The retreat includes spiritual exercises focused on forgiveness, compassion, and mercy. Psychological exercises will also be offered to help participants work through feelings of grief or anger. For more information on the retreat and for information about other upcoming events in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, visit CatholicReview.org and click on the events calendar. Pope Francis's concern for small Catholic communities that have kept the faith alive despite war and repression was expected to take him to Bosnia-Herzegovina June 6. By making a one-day trip to Sarajevo, the Pope said he hoped he could be an encouragement for the Catholic faithful as well as foster interreligious dialogue. More than 100,000 people died, and millions more were displaced during the 1992 through 1995 conflict. The Pope's trip comes 6 months before the 20th anniversary of the Dayton Peace Accords, which ended the bloodiest conflict in Europe since World War II. For full coverage, visit CatholicReview.org. Finally, at the end of May, we at the Catholic Review bid a fond farewell to Jennifer Williams. Jen has been with the newspaper for nearly 16 years, serving as a staff writer, news editor, and most recently, web editor. Jen has interviewed countless people and witnessed many important moments in the life of the church. We wish Jen much success as she embarks on a new career path. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is George Matisek.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the Catholic Church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only newspaper in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time, the Catholic Review. The print newspaper can be delivered to your home every other Thursday, and you can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. You can also read the inspirational Review in the Pew, ready for you every other Sunday at your local parish. Find the Catholic Review app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print or online at CatholicReview.org. The season of sacraments is nearly here. First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and Weddings. Visit the Baltimore Basilica, America's first cathedral, and stop by the gift shop for all of your gift needs. From beautiful frames to crucifixes and crosses, statues, and one-of-a-kind rosaries, the Basilica gift shop has it all, Friendly, knowledgeable staff members can help you select the perfect gift. Also available, Baltimore's very own Mouth Party Caramels, locally designed hand-painted signs and jewelry, plus gifts for Easter, as well as an extensive line of St. Patrick's Day items, sure to bring out the Irish in everyone. Visit the Basilica Gift Shop at 409 Cathedral Street in Baltimore, or call 410-727-3565 for hours and directions. Free street parking available directly in front of the Basilica between 9:30 and 4 p.m.
Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
We're back with Archbishop William Laurie talking about the Fortnight for Freedom, which will run June 21st to July 4th, 2015. So what's the next for the Church's efforts to promote religious liberty? Where do we go from here?
This year, the Church's Declaration on Religious Liberty that was issued during the Second Vatican Council, celebrating its 50th anniversary. I believe one of the most important things we can do is to help people understand what religious liberty is according to the Church's teaching. And so the Ad Hoc Committee on Religious Liberty, the Knights of Columbus, and various communications groups are getting together to figure out how to communicate attractively the content of Dignitatis Humanae, which is the Declaration on Religious Liberty. I think that's part of the new evangelization because the Declaration speaks of religious liberty not simply as freedom from government coercion, but also for what we might call freedom for excellence, the freedom to become the persons God meant us to be, the freedom to embrace fully the truth about our human nature. And it teaches us that religious liberty is inscribed in our human nature. If ever there were a time a message needed to get out, this must be it. So that will be a big focus for what we're doing. I think we also certainly have to look at what is coming down the pike at us, and some of it is pretty challenging. For example, during the Fortnight of Freedom itself, we expect a decision with regard to same-sex marriage from the Supreme Court. And depending on how it comes down, we'll have enormous religious liberty implications for things such as hiring and benefits and for the freedom to accomplish our mission, and the freedom to teach and believe what we do about marriage as between a man and a woman, and as having something to do with procreation. There's also a lot of question about hiring for mission, about the freedom of college kids on campuses to be able to have a Christian organization made up of Christians if they want. These and other things are coming down. Also, there's things called Reproductive Freedom Acts that would seek to tie our hands in our pro-life clinics that do such wonderful work and that are so life-affirming.
We already battled that in Baltimore, and now they're facing it in California, I see, and probably lots of other places.
The District of Columbia, for example. So lots of challenges.
So if somebody's not in Baltimore or D.C., so it's not easy for them to get to one of the masses, how can they participate in the Fortnight for Freedom? What's the best way to do that if you're in Kentucky or Idaho or someplace like that?
Well, our Ad Hoc Committee on Religious Liberty has produced a handy-dandy packet on how you celebrate the Fortnight for Freedom. It includes things like homily tips. It includes things that, such as taking the Declaration of Religious Liberty and making it bite-sized so that you can take in a little bit of it each day during the fortnight. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We're suggesting ecumenical interreligious prayer services because we're not the only religious group facing this. Anybody who wants to really take his or her faith seriously and practice it, we're all in this together. So we're talking about that. We're talking about study groups. We're talking about prayer services, local masses, and various ways that you can do what I said at the top of this program, which is to pray, to study, and to act, to do advocacy. So I just suggest you go on the USCCB website, go to the Fortnight for Freedom, and you'll get lots of handy tips.
That's great. What do you hope people learn from participating in the Fortnight? What do you want them to take into their hearts and their minds as part of this?
Mm-hmm. First and foremost, I want people to be grateful to God because religious freedom is God's gift to us. John F. Kennedy said in his inaugural address that our fundamental freedoms come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. We really believe that and really cherished it. That would be great. Secondly, I want people to exercise religious freedom. One of the reasons it gets challenged is because people are not practicing their faith. Years ago, when 75% of Catholics went to church on Sunday, every Sunday, some of these challenges would have been unthinkable.
Mm-hmm.
As people perceive some weakness on the part of the religious community, they began looking for cracks in the armor. I think a third thing is that I want people to understand our American heritage much better, understand the religious freedom that is embedded in the First Amendment, but all our fundamental freedoms and how they are linked together. I think we've always said, my predecessor, Cardinal Gibbons, defended the proposition that you can be a totally loyal Catholic and a totally loyal American. We need to reassert that in the public square. These are some of the things.
Why have people gotten to the point where they think you can't be Catholic or can't be religious and be a good American?
I don't know that people are defining it that way anymore. I think a lot of people are thinking that religion is a little compartment in my life that I resort to when I need to, instead of a way of life and a way of love that is coterminous with one's citizenship. Part of the new evangelization is to say, no, it isn't like that.
Great. Go ahead. Is there anything else you want to add?
You know, I'm glad you asked, Chris. There is something I would warmly, personally like to invite everyone listening to us to attend the opening mass of the Fortnight for Freedom. It's June the 21st. That's a Sunday. It's at 10:45 a.m. at the Baltimore Basilica, the Basilica of the Assumption. It does count for Sunday. And we're hoping to pack that basilica. It's a very joyful, upbeat celebration. And I look forward to seeing everybody there.
Great. Thanks for talking with us today, Archbishop Lurie. The Archbishop is the chairman of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Ad Hoc Committee on Religious Liberty, so he's been focusing on this topic for quite a long time, and we're glad that you were able to talk with us about this topic today. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Chris.
This is Christopher Gunty of the Catholic Review for Catholic Baltimore. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
You are invited to the National Opening Mass of the Fortnight for Freedom, Sunday, June 21st at 10:45 a.m. at the Basilica of the Assumption in downtown Baltimore. This Mass will be celebrated by Baltimore Archbishop William Lowry and begins a 14-day period when Catholics and others can pray, reflect, and act to promote the first most cherished freedom. For more information, visit archbalt.org. May God bless you and may God bless America.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.